Sure, it might be a little delay. That's all right. I just appreciate
you. Are you in Winston-Salem?
I am. Yes, I'm the education reporter at the Winston. You know, it's been nice the last 2 days, but we're supposed to get cold again, so we'll see.
Yeah.
So you are in Kandahar, is that right?
Kandahar, Afghanistan, yes.
Okay, and how long have you been there now?
We've been here since October. You lose track of time sometimes.
I'm sure you
do. October of 2013.
Okay. And how long are you supposed to be there?
It is it's supposed to be a 9-month deployment.
Okay.
9-month in country. And by the time you go through the pre-mob and demob, it ends up being close to a year total.
Okay. And so you, prior to this, were teaching at the Career Center here in Winston, is that right?
Yes, ma'am. I'm a teacher at the Winston-Salem Forsyth County Career Center. I teach electrical or carpentry, depending on what year it is and how many students we have in the classes. I'm licensed in the state of North Carolina to teach either or.
Okay, electrical or carpentry.
Yes.
And so did you teach last school year, or when's the last time you taught there?
I did teach last school year. I've actually been teaching in North Carolina for the past 18 years. I started teaching in Guilford County at the Career Center up there, and have been in Forsyth County at the Career Center there for probably, don't quote me because I'm a little bit rough on my dates now, but I think about 8 years I've been down there.
Did you say 1 year?
8 years.
8 years. I'm sorry, I misheard you. Okay, great. And so do you plan to go back to the Career Center here in Winston when you get back from your deployment then?
I do. I plan to go back to teaching. That's what I do. It's in me, I guess. That's what I enjoy doing, being around the kids and working with the kids. And I will go back to teaching.
Great. So Tiffany, who contacted me to let me know about you, said you're doing some teaching in Afghanistan right now, though. Is that part of your duty?
I am. It is part of my duty as a warrant officer. When I came back into the military, I have been a drill sergeant in the Army Reserves, which went right along with my civilian occupation as a teacher. And then I became a warrant officer, a construction engineer warrant officer. And my primary role as a warrant officer is also to teach our young soldiers the construction MOSs of carpentry, electrical, plumbing, and masonry. So I have the opportunity for the Army to be able to teach our soldiers all those skills.
Great.
I'm like a subject matter expert.
Valuable.
Well, as a warrant officer, that's what I am, a subject matter expert in the construction industry, or in the construction field.
Okay. So a lot of people, I think, when they think about someone who's deployed, they don't imagine them building things, doing masonry, electrical work. How does that fit in with the kind of the broader goal or mission of what you guys are there to do?
Well, I mean, everything the military does requires construction in some shape, fashion, or form. We have to have, buildings to work out of, just like anybody else would, work out of, live out of, sleep out of, eat out of. So, are you asking what our primary mission here is, or?
How the construction piece kind of fits in, because, that makes sense. You know, everybody, you need buildings there, but I don't think people think about that part of of the military over there and them doing that part as often.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, I can't imagine they wouldn't think of the military as needing construction specialists and subject matter experts in construction, because, like I say, it's a big part of what the military does.
Great.
Not everybody. I mean, we don't all live in tents. In other words,
sure.
You know, we have to have hard structures to do our business out of.
Absolutely. And so, just tell me what a normal kind of day on your job there is like.
Ah, normal day.
If such a thing
exists.
Well,
if we're talking to the kids back home, we as far as electronics, there's not many of them. We do have access to TV. You don't get time to watch it a whole lot. I'm up in the morning at roughly 4:30. Eat breakfast at 5:00. I generally work by 5:30 or 6:00, and stay at work, you know, till the job's done. Most days that may be 1900, which is 7:00, or, you know, 8:00 in the evening.
Sure.
And then do it all over again. It's a 7-day-a-week process. So there's no, in a war zone, there really is no days off.
That's a long day for you, too, 6 a.m. to 7 or 8 every day.
It's a long day, but, ma'am, these, you think about it like this, what else are you going to do over here, you know?
Sure.
Other than work, that's what we're here for. And you know, that's what we do.
Absolutely. And so when you say you go to work, what does that entail? Are you building things all day? Are you teaching classes?
My job with the 489th Engineer Battalion is overseeing operations of the battalion wood shop. Our wood shop, we build a number of things for units all over the southern end of Afghanistan. For example, blocking and bracing for shipping equipment around the country. We build flag boxes. We do maintenance in the battalion area here to make sure everything is up and going when it needs to be. So our job in the wood shop is a very broad scope of construction related stuff. And in that job, I mentor and teach young soldiers in how to do the job properly and paying attention to detail is a big thing that I push a lot.
So, how many young soldiers are you teaching and mentoring then at a time?
The total number of soldiers that I teach and mentor, it varies. We have our soldiers rotate through the wood shop. I may have soldiers for, you know, 2 to 3 weeks at a time. And then they will rotate out, and I'll have a new group come in.
Okay.
So the numbers vary.
Is it generally about like a normal classroom size that you would have here?
It's a little bit smaller than what we would have there. It's probably about half the size of the classroom we have there. It's really set up with all of our woodworking materials, our, you know, skill saws, planers, routers. It's a working shop. You know, we don't sit down with the books here. We actually learn by doing.
Sure.
It's like on the job apprenticeship. We're actually doing the job, and they're learning as we go.
I'm sure there's a pretty steep learning curve there. Got to pick it up fast. Okay, great. So in some ways, it sounds like what you're doing with those with the soldiers that you're teaching kind of mirrors some of the lessons that you would teach here. Is that right?
It is the same lessons I teach there. I really don't see any difference in what I teach the high school students back in Forsyth County and what I'm teaching the soldiers here in Afghanistan.
Do you
The style I use is the same.
It's the same. Yeah. So you approach those two groups in the same way?
I do. I approach them in the same way. You know, it's all about to try to explain to you my style. I guess a few words that I can use here. You got to have rules everywhere to keep order, whether it be in the high school classroom or in the military setting. There's rules on both sides. You can be as hard as you need to be on students and making them follow these rules, but at the end of the day, I'm always make sure that I pat them on the back and tell them, you know, what a good job they've done. So, in other words, my students know that I do care about them. I do care about their future. I do care about what they're doing now.
If I were to talk to some of your students from here in Forsyth County, would they say that you're a little bit like a drill sergeant in their classroom, too?
Oh, I'm sure they would. I'm sure they would. What I do in my classroom and at the high school setting, we actually do push-ups in class. If I have I try to handle everything in-house, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I control my class, and I very seldom send a student to the office because, like I said, there again, I control my class, and I am the leader of that class. So, you know, if a student has an infraction, hey, can you give me 10 push-ups? And I've really, you know, never had a problem with any high school student. It is no problem in the military, but I've really never had a problem with the high school students doing that either.
I can say I think that'd be a
first. I don't take them outside and make them run up down the hill next to school, but, you know.
So is that something you do with your soldiers there, too?
From time to time, yes. My soldiers here have to do push-ups, yes.
And so I was reading a little bit about you before you called, and it said that you joined the military right out of high school. Is that right?
I did.
And so what, I guess, led you to that in the first place?
Well, right out of high school, I guess I got to my senior year in high school, and that was back, Lord, 1986. And don't put that in there, okay? That'll give away my age. But senior year in high school, like most high school students and like I see in students today, a lot of times you don't know what direction you're going. And I was in the same boat. I didn't know what direction I was going. I had a family history of military, so I thought I would try the military out. So I signed up on a two-year program just to see what it was like. Went in for 2 years. I actually got out a little bit earlier than that on the Reagan-era reduction of force. And come on back to the house and went straight into construction. Over the years, I gained a few different professional licenses in construction. I have a general contractor's license to build houses and buildings, and I also have an electrical contractor's license that I can wire those. And that is what qualified me and led me into teaching in the state of North Carolina.
Okay. So you said you didn't really see it, you didn't really have a direction when you were about to graduate, and you see that in some of your students today?
Yes, I see in a lot of students today that, you know, really don't know what direction they want to go. Do they want to go to college? Do they want to go straight into the workforce? And, you know, I try to help them decide what direction they do want to go. You know, we, in the state of North Carolina, we've, over the past, I guess, 10, 15 years, we've had a huge push to get students to go and get their four-year degrees. Well, in doing so, I can't quote all the statistics, you know, right off the top of my head right now, but, you know, most students not that go on and get four-year degrees might make it to their sophomore year in high school, or excuse me, sophomore year in college, and end up dropping out. And then, of course, we have had a situation in the United States with the economy that those students that are graduating with four-year degrees are ending up without jobs when they do graduate. So I do encourage the students, number one, if you are going to college, you know, let's focus on something that will get you a job, will get you a decent paying job. If you're not going to college, let's focus on something that can provide you and possibly your family later down the road when you have one. And we have all kinds of, you know, great programs there at the Winston-Salem-Forest South County School District, Winston Career Center, that actually helps the students. We have apprenticeship programs that, in my class there, I actually work with the contractors in Winston-Salem area. And any of my students between their junior and senior year that wants to go out and work in the construction industry just to see if they like that, we will put them in an apprenticeship program and let them go out and work. And, of course, they work 2 months between their junior and senior year, and when they, of course, they come back their senior year and finish the second year of instruction, either in the electrical class or the carpenter class. And then that helps them in deciding, okay, is work something I want to do? Do I want to graduate high school and go straight to work and maybe go to the community college at night? Or do I want to go on to a four-year college and try that route? And I've had students go both ways. I've had students that have graduated, went straight into the workforce, either in with a construction company or electrical company in Forsyth County or Greensboro. And I've had students that have decided, okay, I want to be a engineer, electrical engineer, or want to go into construction management. And I've had a number of students went on to North Carolina State, North Carolina A&T, and became electrical engineers and, you know, have been successful. So, you know, I guess you say, you know, we all make mistakes. Growing up, I made more mistakes than most, and I try my best to get kids to understand, hey, maybe if you, you know, listen, maybe you won't have to make all those mistakes.
Sure.
Does it work? Most time not.
Sure. They end up having to make themselves,
yeah,
don't they?
We all hard-headed. We got to learn the hard way.
Sure. Do you ever talk to your students about your military experience or consider them to look at that option?
I do. That's in trying to push them in a direction. You know, I always bring up the military. If a student does not have the money to go to college, I've always pushed the military that, you know, the military is a great option. But not only can you get a, you know, good skill that you could possibly use in the civilian sector, but you can get college paid for. While you're in the military, while you're serving, your college is covered 100%, basically. And then when you get out of the military, you've got the Army College Fund, GI Bill, a post 9/11 GI Bill that you can use to pay for your college. So, as opposed to getting student loans and being in debt when you graduate college, You know, I give them all that. I give them all those options and try to let them think a little bit. And from time to time, I have brought a recruiter in to actually talk to some of the students about that. You know, I try to be. I don't try to push any one thing. I try to give them a broad spectrum that they can choose the direction they want to go. But my job, it's important to give them those options because a lot of the times they don't know what options they've got.
Sure. Do you think, is that something that you had when you were a student or you wish you would have had?
I tell you what, when I was a student coming through high school, I wished I would have had an apprenticeship program like we have set up now in Forsyth County. I really feel that the apprenticeship program in Forsyth County that can actually put students in a youth apprenticeship program, register them with the North Carolina Department of Labor, and put them on a job site between the junior and senior year, I think that's great. I think it's a model for the whole nation to go by. If I would have had that coming to school, I think it would have helped me in making my decisions on what I wanted to do. Yes.
So when you said you came back from the military after a little less than 2 years, you went into construction. How did you get into teaching then?
Well, in the state of North Carolina and several other states around the country, you don't go to college. Let me back up. In state of North Carolina, I'll stick with them because I know the state of North Carolina. In order to teach a vocational class, you must have a professional license in the area that you're going to teach. For example, if you want to teach automotive technology, you must be what do they call it? What is the automotive certification? ASC, yes. You must be ASC certified to be able to teach. Well, most teachers that go to a college and get a four-year degree in education are not ASC certified. Well, most teachers that go to college for the four-year degree in education are not general contractors or electrical contractors. So the state of North Carolina has got what is called lateral entry. And what they do, they hire their vocational teachers from the industry. If they want a carpenter teacher, they go looking for a general contractor to fill that position. And then, once they find the right match, they will take that applicant or that teacher in a probationary state while they are teaching and send them back to school to finish the education classes that the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction has deemed that they feel necessary that they need to teach that class.
Sure.
So they hire you because of your civilian license, and then they send you back to school to get what you need to satisfy the Department of Public Instruction guidelines.
Okay. So why did you decide to take that route, though? What was it about that spoke to you about teaching as opposed to just staying in the construction industry?
Well, you know, it's kind of ironic. I was happy with the job that I was in construction. And one day I was reading the paper and seeing a position open in Guilford County for electrical teacher. You know, and I thought, why not? I'll try this. And never really thought about getting a job, but it's just one of those things, you know, why not? You know, I'll try it.
Mm-hmm.
Applied for the job and then ended up getting hired for the position. And I guess to make a long story short, in hindsight, I never thought, growing up, I never seen myself as a teacher. I never thought I'd be a teacher. But looking back on it now, I can never see myself doing anything else other than teaching. That's how much I enjoy it.
Really? And were you surprised by that, by how much you actually enjoyed it once you started doing it?
Oh, I was. I was very much surprised by it. And really, it's been a learning process throughout, you know, the 18 years that I have been teaching. For example, it takes a whole lot of patience. I mean, and patience, I really don't think that a lot of people's born with it, and I sure wasn't born with it. But that is a trait, I guess, that's been developed, and I've got a whole lot better at it over the years. So, anyway.
What was it about teaching? What is it that you enjoy so much?
The being able to mentor, the teaching, the mentoring, the being a leader, and going back to what we talked about before, the whole thing of trying to, you know, give to a younger student the knowledge that you have, pass it on to them, help them try to make the right decisions. See them graduate, see them go on in whatever direction they choose, see them be successful, and 10 years down the road, give you a call on the phone and say, you know, Mr. Jones, thank you for what you've done for me. That, I mean, that keeps me going.
Absolutely. And it sounds like you're talking about a lot more than just your construction and your electrical knowledge. You're passing on more than just that.
Say that one more time, ma'am.
When you're talking about passing along the knowledge that you have, it sounds like you're talking about more than just your knowledge in the construction field, more than just your electrical knowledge. Is that right?
It's more than that. I mean, it is. When you try to mentor, of course you want to give them the knowledge in the electrical and construction field, but you want to give them those life lessons also. Those are just important at times for students to learn as the book learn.
Absolutely. And so then, I guess going back to your job there in Kandahar, do you do that with your soldiers as well? Does that go both ways?
It goes both ways. It does. And I'd also like to add that I continue to learn also. You know, I learn from my students on a daily basis. They learn from me. I learn from them. And whether it be a student on the high school level, a soldier here in the military, like I say, the one thing they know at the end of the day is that Mr. Jones cares about my future.
How have you addressed that with the soldiers that you work with? Because I know there's been a lot of talk over the last few years about how difficult it is, especially for young soldiers, when they come back to the States to kind of get going and to find a job or some direction.
Okay. Say it one more time. You kind of broke up.
Oh, sure. So the last few years, there's been a lot of talk about the struggles young soldiers have faced coming back to the States after their service in finding, you know, a place here or finding work, meaningful work. How do you address that with the soldiers you work with?
Well, you know, that's part of what we're doing in the woodshop here also. We're trying to hone those skills that they have. I mean, they may have a job in the military as a carpenter or as an electrician or as a plumber or as a mason, but those skills need to be honed. And they need to get better at those skills. And when they get home, they should be able to use those skills in finding jobs.
Sure.
Or they should be able to use their college money in going to college and getting an education in some other field that they want to work in. It is tough for soldiers. I mean, it is two different worlds. And it is tough for soldiers to transition at times, especially young soldiers. It seems that young soldiers have a harder time with a transition than older soldiers do. It is, I try to find the right word here, resiliency, okay? I guess resiliency is the best word. As you get older, you learn how to be more resilient. Sometimes young soldiers haven't learned that skill yet. And this is a tough environment here. Sometimes, being in this environment and coming back to the States, it does throw them for a loop, per se. And some of them, it is harder for them to readjust. But hopefully, with the soldiers that we are working with here, it will be easier for them to readjust, because I treat these soldiers as I can do my students. We talk about what they're going to do when they get back home. Are you going to do this, what we're learning here, what your job is here in the Army? Are you going to do this in the civilian world? Are you going to go to college when you get back home and use that, college money that the Army's giving you? So, you know, that's things we talk about and try to help them in that transition process.
Great. How did
I want to say
then...
one thing that?
Oh, sure.
You go ahead. And I want to say one thing at the end. Go ahead.
Okay. So you did construction. You got into teaching. How did you get back to the military then?
How did I get back to the military?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had at some point I had to put my money where my mouth was, I guess, and giving out advice. For years, I had been giving advice to my students that, you know, the military was a great option to learn leadership, to learn discipline, to get money for college, especially if they don't know what direction they're going. Sometimes it can help them find that direction. So in telling my students that, I guess at some point I realized, especially after 9/11, I'm telling my students this. Why can I not be a example to them by doing it also? And, yes, I was older when I came back in to the Army Reserves, but personally, I think it's been one of the best moves that I've made in my life, being able to come back in, use the skills that I have in the civilian sector to be able to help the younger soldiers in the Army, to be able to help, you know, the Army as a whole. And everything seems full circle to me now. Not many people get to use their civilian acquired skills in the military, but I can use them in both places, so I'm doing the same thing no matter where I'm at. So, long story short, I wanted to be an example to my students. I wanted to be an example to my own family and to my son. When I joined, my son was also in the military, serving with 82nd Airborne down at Fort Bragg. So all those factors played a role in me coming back in.
Sure. So how will your experience, going back to the military, how will that change or be reflected in the way you teach when you come back?
Honestly, I think I will have the same style that I did when I leave. You know, as far as my outlook, this is the first time I've been mobilized twice. One time I was in Fort Jackson as a drill sergeant, that's in the States,
mm-hmm.
which, wasn't too bad. Fort Jackson, not far from Winston-Salem. But as far as overseas, this is my first deployment overseas. And like I say, it is an eye-opening experience, to say the least. Our young people with their cell phones and electronics and everything we have in the States. In other words, I guess it's hard to get somebody to understand what it's like unless they've been there. So this is something that I will never get my students to really understand what it's like unless they have actually come here themselves. But I will come back with a whole new attitude, a whole new refreshed attitude that will energize me to keep doing what I've done in the past as far as mentoring and teaching and being that leader, and try to improve on those skills to actually be a better leader and mentor and teacher.
How you say it's been an eye-opening experience for you. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, ma'am, let's look at our standard of living in the United States.
Sure.
We are the most blessed country in the world, and we have no idea because our kids have no idea because our kids live it day in and day out. They are used to everything they have. We say we don't have any money. We have students and it's sitting in our classes that may come from poor families, but somehow they manage to scrape up the money to buy a $200 pair of tennis shoes or an iPhone. So in saying that, we really not as bad off as we think we are sometimes until you come into a situation, into another country and see how others live. And seeing that, we are really blessed in the country we live in. Now, can I get students to understand that? I can tell them, but would they really understand it? No.
Right. Okay, so when did you actually go back into the Army Reserves? When did you join that?
2008, at the end of 2008, my first full year, and back in the Reserves was 2009.
Okay, and so when were you deployed to Fort Jackson?
You can't quote me on this. It's either 2010 or 2011.
Okay, that's fine.
Let me say this.
Yeah.
And this is what I wanted to talk about. If I say anything in this interview, I would like to say, number one, how much I appreciate the support that Dr. Dennis Moser, my principal at the Career Center, has given me for coming back into the military. Not only Dennis Moser, but Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools and the support that they have given me. My wife is also a teacher in Forsyth County. And so that when I deploy, they not only have to deal with me being gone, they have to deal with the the problems that arises for her and the extra time she has to take off to take the kids to the doctor, you know, much more so than, well, if that makes sense. There's a lot more on her and her job since I'm gone than it would be if I was there. So Forsyth County Schools and Dr. Dennis Moser have been great in supporting the decision for me to come back in the military. And I want to give them a thank you for that.
Great. I've got a call in to Dr. Moser.
Over the past 5 years since I've been back in, which I am hoping it slows down because I really, as much as I love doing what I'm doing here, I really need to be back doing my job there as a teacher and getting on with my construction business. So over the past 5 years that I've been back in, I've been to Fort Jackson for a year, And I've been, of course, here now for a year, and multiple military schools along the way. So it has taken a lot of time out of my civilian job, which not only me, but a lot of Army Reserve soldiers are in the same situation. Our country has been wide open and doing what we're doing. But like I say, hopefully when we get back, we'll be able to settle back in and do the things we need to be doing back home.
Tell me about your family.
Family? Great family. I have got a beautiful wife that keeps me straight.
What's her name?
Shannon.
And where does she teach?
She actually taught at Tabor. She is now in central office. She works with she works in the EC department.
Oh,
exceptional
okay,
children.
Cool. Yep. Great. And you said you've got children?
I do. I've actually got two smaller children with Shannon. Max, which is my youngest son, and Madeline, she is just started kindergarten this year. So I actually missed her starting kindergarten, which kind of broke my heart there, but I don't like to focus on those things. And then I've got two older children. My oldest son is 24 now, and my oldest daughter is 21 from a previous marriage. But
and what are their names?
Brandon and Brittany.
And is that Brittany?
Anny, yes.
And Brandon, Brandon?
Yes.
And then Max, you said Max?
I call him Max for short. It's actually Maddox, Maddox.
And how old is he?
He's three.
Three, oh, little. And Madeline, Madeline?
Madeline, oh, hell. You got to get this right. My wife will kill me. Madaline.
Okay. Madaline. And she just started kindergarten, so she's six?
She's five. She just started kindergarten this year.
Five. Okay. Okay, great. And so Brandon, you said, was in the 82nd Airborne?
Brandon was in the 82nd Airborne at Fort Bragg when he was in the military. And that's been, I think he actually got out of the military a year after I came back in.
Okay. Well, did you influence him to kind of take that path as well?
I did. I influenced him to take that path. And there again, you know, I was influencing everybody to take that path. So it came to a point that I had to take it too. Actually, you know, I feel like being here, I feel like a father figure. You know, I feel like just like I do back to high school, I'm taking care of these young soldiers.
Because you probably work with a lot of people about your son's age, then.
Say again.
You probably work with some soldiers that are about your oldest son's age, then?
Oh, yeah. 95% of people I work with are my son's age.
Okay, and I do have to ask, how old are you?
Now, why do you got to ask that? Let's flip that around. What if I would ask you that?
I am 25. I'll tell you.
Okay. I am 45.
45. All right, great. Thank you. Oh, nothing wrong with that at all. Okay, and so you you said you want to come back and do your construction business also. So you still work in construction as well as teach?
I do. I have a general contractor's license, and I, in addition to teaching, I have I built houses over the year, spec houses, over the past 20 years. I built quite a few spec houses, which, as a general contractor, it's you know, it's really not that hard. I, you know, always make sure I have good subcontractors, and before I go to work in the morning, I drop by the job site and make sure everything's going good. And when I get off work, I, you know, go back by the job site and make sure everything's, you know, on track. So, you know, it's really, really not that hard to do. And you know, there again, it was always a place for, you know, some of my students that had graduated or some of my students that were seniors that, you know, if they needed a little extra work, I'd always take them out and, you know, work them on the weekends with the permission of their parents, of course. So, yeah, and over the past, you know, over the past 4 years, which that, you know, also gave me a window to come back into the military also because, you know, over the past 4 or 5 years, our construction industry has not been the best in the world. So it has probably been a good 3 years now since I've actually built a house, which I am fortunate in that I am a teacher and I didn't rely on that, you know, for my primary income. So, you know, I was able to say, you know, whoa, the economy's too bad. Let's sit back here and just, you know, just do my teaching for now. And but when I come back, from this deployment, the building industry in Western Salem has picked up. I can see some life in it, so I plan to start a, you know, another spec home within the first 6 months of getting back. Hopefully,
no rest, huh?
Nah, Lord, no, can't rest. I've got 4 kids. I will never be able to rest or retire.
My parents have 1. I think they feel the same way. Okay, and so do you plan on teaching next school year then, starting in the fall?
I do. We okay. We should be back. I won't divulge the exact time of our movement, but we should be back before the school year starts. So I should be able to either start the school year or be back shortly after the school year starts.
Great. Have you had any, been able to have any contact with your students while you've been deployed?
They have, to somewhat, I've not called and actually talked to my class. I have called and talked to a Miss Messer, which is a commercial arts teacher there at the Career Center. Miss Messer actually sends her students design cards for troops every year and sends them out to Christmas, you know, for the troops. And it was kind of neat this year. The soldier that she sent cards to was one of the teachers, one of her teachers there that works with her. So I did call and or Skyped one day during class and talked to her students about, you know, what it was like over here and stuff like that, which was kind of neat. It kind of makes it hard because when they're in school, it's time for me to go to bed.
And, sure.
You know, after a long, yeah, so, you know, the time difference makes it hard.
What is the time difference?
Oh, Lord. What's the time difference? 8, 9 hours? Around 8, 9 hours. You can Google it and find out exactly.
Okay. I'm not keeping you up, am I?
I'm going to work you something there, ain't
I? Yeah. So that's fair. Okay, great. Well, I think actually that is about the only other question I had. Is there anything else you wanted to add or say?
Let's see. The first thing I'm going to eat when I come back is probably a big pizza.
No pizza there?
But that's crazy, the things you crave over here.
Say again?
Eight and a half hours is the time difference. So they actually Google it over here.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. What else do you miss? Do you miss pizza? What else do you miss?
The biggest thing I miss is my family. You know, I can talk pizza and I can talk all these other things, but, you know, the biggest thing I miss is my family and my kids.
Of course.
I do stay up late and try to Skype them sometimes, and I can't wait to get back to spend time with them little ones and run around with my older son.
Sure. And then I don't know if this will work out or not. Tiffany had said I might be able to speak to some of the soldiers you worked with there that you were helping. Do you know anything about that, or is there anyone else there that you work with I could chat with?
Well, there's
Specialist Oliveira.
She's wanting to know, are you wanting to know if there's any soldiers here with me now that you can talk with?
That would work, yeah, if there are.
She's whatever. If there's any soldiers that I work with that she can speak with, would you like to speak with her? Okay. I'll let you speak with Specialist Oliveira here. I'll work with him here in the battalion area.
Okay, great.
Everybody else is probably almost in bed right now, but we're here in the office, so I'll let you speak with him.
Okay, well, I really appreciate you taking the time out to chat with me today. Thanks so much.
Well, ma'am, I appreciate what you're doing. And,
sure, and maybe we can catch up when you're back in the classroom.
I tell you what, you're welcome. As long as Forsyth County Schools agrees to it, you're welcome to come talk with us anytime you want to.
Okay,
and
wonderful.
We'll put the focus on the kids, okay?
Absolutely, sure. I look forward to it.
Okay, here's Preston Oliveira.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, hi. I'm sorry, can I get your name?
Specialist Miguel Oliveira.
Will you spell that for me?
Miguel, M-I-G-U-E-L.
Okay.
Oliveira. O-L-I-V-E-R-O.
V-E-R-O? Okay. Hi, Miguel. My name's Erica. V-E-R-O. Okay. My name's Erica. I'm a reporter at the Winston-Salem Journal. It's in the town that Chief Jones teaches in. So I'm working on a story about him, and he was telling me about the work he does there, kind of also a similar capacity, teaching and mentoring. And just tell me a little bit about what it's like to work with him.
I'm the battalion PAO, so I go back and forth between the wood shop, taking pictures of them, and working in the battalion, working public affairs stuff for the battalion. So I get to see Chief Jones work with his soldiers on a regular basis. And it's very interesting to come in there and see what they're up to. He's always taking time to make sure, you know, they're kind of learning everything that they can from him at all times. He's always taking the opportunity to teach them new stuff. And it's really neat.
Great. How long have you been there?
I came out here before Chief Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I was out here around the August time frame.
Okay. And where are you from?
I live currently, kind of interesting. I deployed from South Carolina with the South Carolina National Guard, deployed from Charleston, but I'm moving back up to New York City to go to school.
Oh, fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, so when you see Kenny Chief Jones working with his the younger soldiers there in the woodshop, can you tell that he's a teacher?
Actually, yeah, I can. it's that obvious. My mom's a teacher, and a lot of the way he talks to his troops is very much similar to how my mom talks to her students.
That's great. That says that something a little bit different than you normally see in the way people as superiors talk to their soldiers. Stands out a little bit.
It does stand out a little bit. I mean, leadership in the military is always supposed to, you know, train the next generation of soldiers. So that's always a common theme we see. But his way of going about it is a little bit different. He takes a very personal interest in his soldiers, and he's always making sure that, you know, they're good, they know what they're doing, you know, he stresses safety to them, and he takes the time to teach them ways to do stuff. He takes the time to teach them the right way to do stuff.
Sure. Okay, so let me make sure, I'm not super familiar with military titles, so I want to make sure I have this right. So you are Specialist Miguel Olivero, and you're the PIO for the battalion? Is that the way I should title that?
I'm the battalion PAO. The PAO is the public affairs. There's two of us. There's me and my officer in charge, which is Captain Parker.
Okay.
And we just handle, like, the media engagements when we got the request for Chief Jones to speak to you. We handled kind of getting everything set up with DVIDs and making sure everything's good, and then getting you guys connected.
Great. Well, I really appreciate that. This has been a fun opportunity.
No problem.
Those are the only questions I had, unless there's anything else you would like to say.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, thank you guys very much. Really appreciate it.
No problem. You have a good night.
Okay, you too. Day, sure. You too.
Bye.
Bye.